Q.
I got something here. I want to see if you know what this is.
A Q.
A Q. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah, I like that.
Hello and welcome from deep inside the ear hole of Jolly Rogers Studio. Once again, this is the Q Filmcast. And whether you're with us online, worldwide, or perhaps nationwide, on one of our affiliate stations, thanks as always for tuning in. If you don't yet know, we are the show which brings to you our review of a particular film currently streaming on Netflix Instant. We gather here each week at Jolly Rogers Studio, where we go around the table to tell you what we thought, that and our weekly top three list, which is always inspired by the movie in question.
Right.
So here we are. Let's reveal that. 2004's...
crying right now.
Marionette-infested, comedy-laced Team America. And yeah, it's perfectly placed then. I think today it's perfectly placed, too. Why not?
It's turning into a timeless tale.
Yeah, a timeless tale. So if you've seen it, keep listening. See if you agree or disagree. Or if not, why? Hey, who cares? Even better, you keep listening to see... if it's something you may want to queue up yourself.
If you haven't seen it, shame on you.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what we should do right here, right now?
Yeah.
Reveal the team.
Okay.
We're talking about James Hardsub Savage, Matthew Saint Hoodie, the patron saint of high-quality, made-in-America outerwear.
I'm the one with the frosted tips.
Max Gumbo Johnson. Is there anything more American than gumbo?
Yeah, actually.
Well, no, just play along and say no.
No, that's the most American thing in the world.
How about gumbo with a side order of apple pie? Is that better?
That's better.
Okay.
That's more American.
Anything more American than being jolly? Like Jolly Rogers, like Adam the Bomb Rogers. Adam Jolly Rogers, our producer.
Hello.
Greatest producer in the history of America.
Oh, my.
Did you see that?
Hello?
Yeah. Producer, I got to say something to you before we get going. I want to see your dedication to this show. I want you to come over here. I think it's time you go through the eye of the needle, sir. What do you say? Right now. I want to see how dedicated you are to producing this show. Come on, I'll stand right here. Come on over here. You and I must pass the threshold. Oh, my God, he's actually getting up. Forget that threshold.
So
never mind.
You.
I thought that'd be fun.
He's committed.
He is committed.
You thought it would be fun.
It was a test. Yeah. Max, how committed are you?
As long as there's some patriotic.
I'm real committed, but that doesn't sound fun.
Okay. Okay, so let's get into this film.
Right here, right now.
Are you?
Let's do it.
He's so committed. Let's get into the movie, guys. 2004 Team America. Here we are. And by the way, let's touch on this real quick. How to keep up with us.
Yeah.
Let's just get this out of the way. Let's just push it out there.
Sure. All kinds of ways.
Yeah. We're talking about Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, Google. But you can just go to theqfilmcast.net. Yeah. Yeah, you can go there because you can keep up with us instantly on Twitter there. You can subscribe to follow us and get shows delivered, updates to your inbox. You just follow the little tab there. You click.
Everything.
It's there. Also, Facebook. You can follow us on Facebook there.
Yep.
You can leave reviews of your own. You tell us what you think of ours.
Like things.
Yeah.
Poke us.
iTunes, stars, thumbs up, thumbs out.
Yeah. You can poke us. Yeah, like Max. We do polls.
Polls.
So it's all there. Yeah, QFilmcast.net. That's the best way to go ahead and keep up with the show. All right, so let's get into it.
Mm-hmm.
Team America, 2004. And by the way, how was everybody's week?
Pretty good.
This is the first time we've gotten together since the holidays.
Yeah.
I do believe it.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I had a pretty good vacation.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What was good about your vacation?
About my vacation?
Yeah.
Well, first of all, Savage, thinking back about it, I wasn't valmorphinized into a jihadist killer. Never happened.
Never
that's
happened.
Great. That's fantastic.
Right.
Yeah. Probably wouldn't let you come back to work if you had
done. Probably because you can't act.
Are my powers fading with time?
You're right.
You know, I wasn't fed to sharks by a totalitarian dictator either.
That's always a good thing.
But I had a great vacation, man. You know, I wonder why?
Yeah.
Because in the end, no infidel killed my goats.
Oh.
That's good.
All my goats were perfectly protected.
Shedding a tear.
Yeah, rolling down.
I didn't even know you owned goats.
They're called cats.
Oh, that's right.
The Panthers.
Yeah. So let's go ahead and get into the film. I want to touch on the fact that I had a great vacation. That's all.
Fantastic.
Everything
intact. Fantastic.
Absolutely. Team America 2004. Let's talk about who wrote and directed this. South Park guys.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, the South Park guys.
Trey Parker and Matt Stone.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Matt and Trey.
I see pictures of them together all the time. I can't tell which one's which.
Oh.
Matt's got the big hair.
Oh, really?
He's got the big hair.
Matt did not direct this, though. This says written by Trey Parker and Matt Stone. Yeah.
Matt doesn't direct any of them.
Trey Parker does everything
all the time.
Yeah.
So is Matt Stone kind of like he's like Rocky's Uncle Paulie kind of thing? He just kind of hangs around?
That's exactly right.
That's terrible.
He does the producing.
Yeah. He does a voice every now and again. He probably comes up with he gets high and Trey just bounces ideas off of him.
I would love to see it. selected by Max Gumbo and Apple Pie Johnson.
That's right.
Oh, wait. You're Apple Pie Johnson tonight.
Apple Pie.
We need something a little bit more American tonight.
Okay.
Max Apple Pie Johnson.
Yeah.
There you go.
Max Bald Eagle.
I think it's ironic, to be quite honest, that you queued this film up. Actually, I think we chose to do this after the fact that
because of the interview,
Sony dropped the interview. That's what it was.
Yeah.
So it wasn't ironic. It was just perfectly timed.
And then Paramount dropped the ball again by not letting them show Team America.
Right?
I'm like, come on, Paramount.
Yeah. So,
they had some cojones in 2004 to make this thing.
Yeah.
Now they lost their C.O. Jones lately and wouldn't let him release it again. What's up with that?
We don't know. We have no idea.
They weren't. I guess they weren't afraid of Kim Jong-il.
Right.
They're terrified of Kim Jong-un.
So dumb. So Kim Jong-dome.
Well, his hair is slightly more aerodynamic.
Yeah, a little
bit. If you look at it.
It looks like he got his head
more intimidating.
Stuck in a Dyson dryer.
It does.
it looks like a heat miser.
Are you terrified? What if this gets out and they find out you just said that?
He lives at 123 Peach Street.
That's right. They have your address.
You got my address, 120 Peach Street.
I didn't think about that. 120 Peach Street.
That's right.
I'm glad we corrected it.
Yeah.
They know where I'm at.
That's hysterical.
No, wait. It is 123 Peach Street.
That's hysterical.
Yeah, North Korea's going to hack the cube, philcast.net.
Yeah.
Apple Pie Johnson. So you selected this. I guess you've seen this film before, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
Many times.
Yeah.
You didn't even have to watch it. You've seen it so many times.
Well, I did anyway.
Yeah. A refresher course.
Be fresh.
Yeah.
Now, we talk about top three. Always inspires a top three list. Sure. Hoodie, I think you tossed this out originally. Go ahead and tell me what that is. What is the top three list this week based on the
film?
It was me,
by the way.
Oh, there you go.
It was definitely me.
I have the text to prove it.
Right.
I do have the text to prove it, and it was definitely a montage.
It's a montage.
Right. We need a montage.
Yeah, definitely. Well, let's talk about what the critics think. This is where we stop and kind of critique the critics to let you know what they came up with and tell you how we thought after that. But first of all, IMDb. Savage, I always go to you.
Yeah.
Why don't we kick off 2015 the same exact way?
Okay.
Tell me, IMDb, what do you think they gave Team America World, please?
79.
Nothing changes. I love it.
Nothing has changed.
I don't want that to change.
7.9.
You're close.
Right.
7.3.
Oh.
Yeah.
What on IMDb?
That changes fluctuate. You know the ones that didn't
Below.
You know, that's un-American.
It is un-American.
Yeah. Rotten Tomatoes. Hoodie. What do you think the critics gave this film?
The critics.
Yeah.
80?
Close. 77% fresh on Rotten Tomatoes.
We're all overbidden.
Yeah, slightly.
I thought it
would
be higher than that.
Yeah, what about users, Gumbo? What do you think?
Users got to be high.
It got to be. 80%.
80?
Everybody's overbid.
You're hanging around the 80. You know, you're hanging around 80% all the way across the board.
What's wrong with people?
Well, 8 out of 10 ain't bad. Hell, 2 out of 3 ain't bad.
Says Meatloaf.
Yeah.
Yeah. 8 out of 10 Americans approve of this film.
Okay, all right.
Is that really how that works?
No.
No.
What do you think, producer? Are you surprised by that? Do you think it'd be a little higher, a little lower? What do you think?
I kind of really thought the users would go higher. Critics, I figured they'd be lower, honestly.
Really?
I figured about 60% for critics.
Critics are dumb.
Yeah, well, these critics are not dumb, and we're talking about all of us.
That's right.
Let's get into what this film is. Let's do a brief synopsis here, in case you don't know what Team America World Police is about.
Right. The name says it
all. I can't wait to get into some of the details here.
Can somebody just say, like, truck yeah real quick?
Truck yeah!
America.
Film cast! Truck film yeah! Cast. Coming again to cue your Netflix again, yeah! I don't know. That may stay, that may go.
I'm so sorry, America.
So here's what you have. 2004, Team America, written and directed by the South Park guys, Trey Parker, Matt Stone.
Yep.
Goes a little something like this. Team America, an international police force dedicated to maintaining global stability, learns that a power-hungry dictator is brokering weapons of mass destruction to terrorists, leaving our heroes to embark upon a harrowing mission to save the world from those attempting to destroy freedom around the globe. Team America soon recruits Gary Johnston, a rising star on Broadway, to go undercover in an attempt to gain a foothold into the terrorist nest of evildoers. Although initially reluctant to sacrifice his promising career, Gary realizes that his superb acting gifts are needed for a higher cause.
Because of the song.
Yeah. With the help of fellow Team America members, Chris, Sarah, Lisa, Joe, and Spotswood, Gary slips into an arms dealer's hideout where he discovers that the terrorist plot has already begun to unfold. From the pyramids of Cairo to the Panama Canal, and finally to the palace of power-mad dictator Kim Jong-il, Team America crisscrosses the globe on a desperate mission to preserve the very fabric of civilization with no strings attached. You know, I added that last part.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that wasn't even there. I just put it in there with a pencil.
With a pencil.
Yeah. After its release in 2004, both Trey Parker and Matt Stone decreed that shooting this movie took quite a toll, both stating it was the worst time of their lives. Yeah. Oh, wow. Most of it spent under intense pressure and 20-hour workdays where coffee and sleeping pills were a daily routine. When asked why they went through with it, I love this, Stone said, "Puppets doing jokes aren't really that funny. But when you see puppets doing melodrama, spitting up blood, having sex, and talking about how they were raped, now that's funny." The film was barely completed in time for its October 15th release date.
Wow.
As is their way.
Well, we threw it out there. Basically, that should give you a flavoring of what we're getting into.
Yeah.
And I say right now, we stop. Made in America, that's what this trailer is. So take it, and we'll come back in a minute for what we thought of this film.
Gary, I hate to break it to you, but the world is on the brink of disaster. World crime is at an all-time high. And the only thing standing between order and chaos is us.
This. And just what does this have to do with me?
Last week in Paris, we caught four terrorists with a weapon of mass destruction. We have to find out who sold it to them. Our only hope is to have somebody act like a terrorist. We need an actor. And they say you're the best.
I've got five terrorists going southeast on Bakalakadaka Street.
Soon every country will be in complete chaos.
To save the world from falling apart.
And so you see, the new world is inevitable.
It's what?
Inevitable.
One more time?
Inevitable! Things are inevitably going to change!
One team must pull together.
All right, let's move!
It's too soon to be having feelings for you.
Maybe. Feelings are feelings because we can't control them.
And turn the Earth's dark moment.
Kapla! Three more cities have fallen.
I can't keep it together! I'm not gonna let it end like this.
Into mankind's finest hour.
There's too many of them!
This isn't about sex, Gary, it's about trust!
All right, let's make this interesting.
Kia!
Okay, so there you go. Hope you enjoyed that. That is Team America 2004, the film we're going to talk about right here, right now, in America, from Jolly Roger Studio. Not from a secret lair in another place.
Yeah, deep in the heart of America.
Deep in the heart of America. That's
not
right.
Not from North Korea, Asia. No,
right. That's right.
That's 5,647 miles to the west.
Yeah, that's right.
Of
no, west of America, yeah. No, we're deep in the heart, right in the foothills of America. Here we go. So let's talk a little bit about some facts and figures, some trivia about the film.
Sure.
You know, we do that all the time. I have a bunch of it, too, but let's just streamline it. A couple things of interest. Check this out. Did you know, Hoodie, that the very first footage screened to Paramount executives was of a poorly crafted puppet in front of a background of a badly drawn Eiffel Tower, prompting one executive in the audience to yell, "Oh, God, they effed us." This was a prank pulled by the directors, and the shot then pulls back to reveal a highly refined marionette puppet. Yeah. To the inferior one. I guess that was supposed to be pretty funny.
It's the opening shot.
I'll bet you those executives did pucker up, though, didn't they?
That's beautiful. Sure.
Yeah.
I really hope he did yell that.
Yeah. I looked into it a bit. I guess it was pretty classic. It was a classic moment. Yeah. Did you know, Savage, did you know that originally Matt Damon who Trey Parker and Matt Stone have admitted is really a pretty cool guy, who? Was going Matt Damon was going to be portrayed as intelligent and articulate, but when they saw the puppet, they noted that it made him look retarded. So they just said, to hell with it. He's just going to be retarded in the movie.
No, I did not know that.
Apparently, Damon thought it was funny. He liked it.
He seems like he's got a good sense of humor.
Matt Damon. Did you know that the Michael Moore puppet was stuffed with ham before it was blown up?
It's probably the real Michael Moore.
It probably is. Hey, if you blew him up, it'd be like that whale video we looked at before, right?
Maybe we'll find out one day.
Yeah.
Someday.
Gross video. Gross puppet.
Did you know, as a subtle detail in the opening scene in Paris, I caught this before I even saw the trivia. Did you know the streets are paved with croissants?
Yeah. I caught that this time. I'm like, oh.
That would be kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They should take note.
They should
France.
Take note.
Take note, France.
I've been there. I think they are paved with croissants. They should be.
It's littered with croissants.
Could be. Maybe. Did you know that all of the puppets in this movie use the same two bodies? One for the males, one for the females, with different heads, except for Kim Jong-il. They had a special fat one made for him.
Oh. Well, Michael Moore, he was fat.
Yeah. Tear it all down! Tear it all down!
He was ham.
Yeah. It was ham. Stuffed him with ham. Right. Did you know that when the cameras first show us the palace of in North Korea, several of the smaller buildings are actually Chinese food takeout boxes? That's how they created the village with Chinese food takeout boxes.
That's great.
We have a few more here. Ooh, I like this one. Producer.
Yeah.
Did you know that in the overhead shot of Gary lying in a giant puddle of vomit, it is actually Trey Parker wearing a pair of fake legs so his proportions more closely match those of the marionettes?
I did not know that until today.
Did you know that the vomit was made of soup and beer?
That's what all vomit is.
I was thinking, that vomit? That's like 98% of the vomit in America. In America, we make our vomit out of soup and beer.
Right. And gumbo. We make it ourselves.
We never import our vomit. We make it right here. Never says made in China.
That's right.
Oh, I like this one. Check this out. Before Trey Parker and Matt Stone settled on the final plot for the film, one of their original ideas was to do an all-puppet version of Armageddon.
Would have been hysterical.
They said that's actually the way they went, and they said, this might be funnier to do this year. Did you know that the song America, Heck Yeah, and you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The word heck is used 37 times.
In the song?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's still no Terrence and Phillip.
No.
Scale.
Oh, here, let's end it here on this one. I think this is appropriate to talk about kicking the hornet's nest. Sean Penn was so insulted, how dare they, by the filmmaker's suggestion that there was no shame in not voting, that he wrote an angry letter to Matt Stone and Trey Parker with the closing, a sincere F you, Sean Penn.
Yeah.
And that's why they made fun of him in the
Right. Film. That's why he's part of the Film Actors Guild.
Jeez. You mean FAG?
That's right.
Yeah. Well, let's get going, guys. Let's burn this one out. Let's get into Team America 2004. And we always go to the man that queued it up first. Max Gumbo Apple Pie Johnson, that's you.
Heck yeah.
And I can't wait. I'm very excited to know what you gave this film. I don't think it's going to be 70%. I think it may be a little higher, but prove me wrong.
Really,
what is
fat.
Oh, wait, stop. We did not give our currency.
Yeah.
Wait a second.
I was just going to go into it.
No. Let's back up a second.
I was just going to go.
We're going jihads. We're not going to do 1 to 10 anything, stars, thumbs up.
Nope.
1 to 10 jihads, that's what we're using today.
Yeah, jihads.
All right, well, declare it. How many are you going to go with?
I'm going to go 8 jihads.
8?
That's a lot of jihads.
That's a lot of jihads. Whoa.
Because you really only need one when you think about it. You only need one jihad.
They get redundant after
that. But 8 jihads? Whoa, you're taking everybody out. I love this movie. I thought it was... It gets more... what's the word I'm looking for?
Impressive?
Not impressive.
Appropriate?
Jihadish?
No. Relevant.
Yeah.
Relevant.
It seems even more relevant now than it did back in 2004.
You appreciate its cutting humor and its cutting comedy.
I appreciated that back then as well, but with everything that's going on now, especially this whole Sony hack and the interview debacle.
Yeah.
It's like, why didn't this happen back then? I guess North Korea got a Mac or something. I don't know. So now they can make threats on the interwebs.
Yeah.
But no, I loved it. I thought it was great. I like how they're equal opportunity offenders. They make fun of everybody.
Yeah.
It's really nice to see the left made fun of in a film for a change, because it's always the right. Always the right.
Yeah, they kind of go across the board with a lot of that. And you talk about appropriately timed, too. I also want a day when... You know, God bless Paris. I feel a little French today, you know.
That was another thing.
Islamic murderers coming in there and doing their thing. So, Team America. It's always there when you need it.
Yeah.
They are. So I give it an 8. 8 jihads.
Jihad on the same person? Or is it you declaring jihad in 8 different people, Max?
Ooh. It's not. You don't declare jihad on a person. A jihad is a holy war. You take out everybody.
Yeah, those infidels.
Yeah, declaring jihad on the infidels. That's it.
Well, you know, only one at this table with a beard, and it sure looks a lot like the one I saw in this movie, right. Is Matthew St. Hoodie.
That's awful.
I don't know.
We need to fix this, guys.
No. Your beard is champagne colored, and it looks fantastic.
And it's winter.
No terrorist can say that. No terrorist can say what I just said about your beard
right there. True, I guess.
Maybe. But I want to hear what you think of this film, 2004. Team America, what you got?
I'm kind of with Max, but I'm going to go a step down. I'm kind of between 7 and 8, going 7. I didn't like it the first couple times I saw this movie. Never even made it the whole way through, but I watched it twice. I like it a lot.
All right.
It's good.
All right.
It's real good.
All right. Yeah. Savage, I'm going to pull your strings for a minute.
Sure.
I'm going to pull your strings and ask you what you think of this film, Team America.
Team America's great film. Great film. What's a 10? I don't know. 10 jihads. I'm laying it down. I'm the nuclear holocaust of jihads over here.
Durka.
Deep within Durkistan.
Durka.
And if you don't like it, I'll put a jihad on you.
Yeah.
It's a 10. There's so much right with this movie, and there's so much right with the commentary. There's so much right with the craft work. There's so much right with the relevance, the timelessness of it. This is a great, great film.
It's the craft work is what I want to get into here in a bit. Speaking of craft work and crafty and clever, I'm talking about the producer. Greatest producer in the history of America.
I've never heard those terms in my direction at all.
I've never said them in your direction. It's probably the last time you'll hear them.
He kind of looks like a little puppet over there.
He does, a little puppet on a string.
Pull the strings.
Wrong movie.
Right.
Sorry.
But what you got for Team America, Adam? What you going with?
I'm very patriotic today. I'm going 9.
What?
Boom.
Whoa.
9. Yeah, heck yeah.
Great. It's hysterical. It's funny.
Yeah. Okay, well, good. I thought you may be somewhere on the fence, either loving it or hating it. I like that you like this film, Adam.
I love this movie.
I like that you like this film. All right, so for me, I'm going to go 9.
All right.
I'm going to go 9 jihads. Wow. I like this, and let me tell you why. For me, comedy is always a tough sell, and I think if you're going to make me laugh, you better do it with irony.
Yep.
I like the irony in this movie. I think that's how we talked it up in Zoolander, too. You remember we said, like, when the parody is almost real?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When it gets razor thin, like, close to the bone?
Yeah.
That's what this movie does for me. I think it's hysterical. And the marionettes, come on.
Brilliant.
I mean, like you, Hoodie, I think I went up a bit this time because I thought, okay, I know the jokes are coming. They're great. But I got looking at, these are some of the best performances of that year. I mean, this is done with marionettes, and it's only hysterical to me. I realized why I thought it was so funny. The content's funny.
Yeah.
The themes are funny.
Yeah.
The relevancy is funny.
Yeah.
But it's only funny because that marionette tilted his head just that way. He held his eyes just like that. He blinked at that time.
Right.
All those details are hysterical. For me, we'll get into all the relevant material, but that is fantastic work by these puppeteers, man.
Absolutely.
That's one thing I really liked about it is because you start getting like emotional with these guys, and then they walk out of the room. And you're like, oh, that's just so stupid.
It was fantastic. Right. I mean, we'll never see who's actually pulling the strings, but I'm going to say that was some of the best work in a film.
Yeah.
I mean, it made me want to become a marionetteer, whatever you call it.
A puppeteer.
A puppeteer. It's just hysterical. And I don't think it would be funny as a cartoon. It wouldn't be funny as claymation. But it's truly original. In its own vein, as a marionette-based film. It's hysterical.
Yeah, and it never got old.
Never.
How did that happen?
I don't know. I really liked it this time because I appreciated what it was. But and also, don't forget it's a brave film. Like Max says, you know, it's poking the self-righteous hornets inside the nest.
Yeah.
It's a brave film like that. I'm going 9.
Yeah.
I'm going to go 9 on Team America.
That's 43 jihads.
That's pretty good.
That's a lot of jihads.
Yeah.
I'm surprised on the low guy. How that happened?
I don't know. Want to bump up?
Nah.
Maybe later.
I'm good.
Yeah. Do you understand?
If you don't bump up, I'll put a jihad on you, too.
I'll put a jihad on you. But you do understand, after you read previously, we read that this was a hard film on them, almost ruined their lives. It's exhausting.
Yeah.
And when you look at the detail in this film,
that's
man.
Why.
Yeah, I read a little bit about it, just the stuff that went into setting up the shots. They said there was like an hour dead time between takes.
Yeah.
And you got like 30 guys dangling from the ceiling for hours. I mean, hours while they're setting up everything. How miserable is that?
Yeah.
That's just, oh, no way. No
yeah.
way, I wouldn't do it.
And
I wouldn't do it.
He wouldn't.
Parker?
Yeah, and you're as American as they get, too, Hoodie. I'll tell you that. You won't do it. But yeah, they spared no expense or spared no time on getting the details to the forefront here. It's good like that. All right, well, I'll tell you what. Let's take a break right here. Let's listen to a piece real quickly. Team America set the tone. Something Durka Durka, possibly. I have no idea. Who knows what you're going to hear, but here it is, Team America. We'll come back and get into some of the scenes in detail.
I was just a boy when the infidels came to my village in their Black Hawk helicopters. The infidels fired at the oil fields and they lit up like the eyes of Allah. Burning oil rained down from the sky and cooked everything it touched. I could only hide myself and cry as my goats were consumed by the fiery black liquid death. In the midst of the chaos, I could swear that I heard my goats screaming for help. As quickly as they had come, the infidels were gone. It was on that day I put a jihad on them. And if you don't believe it, then you better kill me now. Because I'll put a jihad on you, too.
All right, so let's go around the table, guys. I told you a little bit about why I like this film quite a bit, 9. Max, get into some of the details of why you went up there. 8, I think. 8 jihads.
8 jihads, yes.
Yeah.
Well, like everybody said, it's a funny movie. And it's funny. I would put this up there with some of the greatest satires in film ever made.
Sure.
I mean, it's up there with Dr. Strangelove and Catch-22 and you know all those sorts of things. It always seems like it's a political thing for some reason.
Well, it kind of is.
Well, no, I'm just saying that it always seems those types of movies sort of rise above the rest.
Yeah.
And I wonder when this came out in 2004, did you can't be a stupid person and get all the jokes. You're just not going to get them.
Yeah.
You've got to know all the tropes of an action movie.
Yep.
You've got to know all the... You've got to have a little bit of knowledge of what's going on in the world.
Maybe you that's know, why Matt went to a 6.
Well, it was a 7. I can see where people would laugh at this just as on a purely, oh, it's funny. You know, the jokes are funny, this and that. But there's such a subtext to this. If you've got half a brain, it's incredibly obvious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if you don't, you really don't pick up on what the movie's trying to say.
No.
You're going to miss the point of it entirely. I mean, like the opening scene in Paris. Oh, everybody relax. We stopped the terrorists. And they're looking around the city, and it's completely demolished.
Right. And the look on those Parisian puppets' faces.
They're all just sitting there.
Just destroyed.
Slack-jawed, looking around. Yeah. Like, oh, yeah. And they're, oh, thank you. No, you need to thank us. And that's kind of, that sort of, and that, they're lampooning, not lampooning, I guess, but they're reflecting what a lot of the other countries might look at us as, the gung-ho, warmonger Americans. They always want to come in and save the day, which... Yeah. France has no right to think that.
I knew it was going to happen.
Don't worry. I'm not going to let take it easy on the French. So there's that. The skill, the craft of the movie.
Sure.
And like you said, it never gets old. I mean, you hadn't seen the level of puppeteer since Thunderbirds or Go or anything like that, you know? And like you said, I was watching this and I was like, if they made this as a live action movie, it wouldn't be nearly as funny or effective. And the thing I also thought is like, was there a subtext to it, them being puppets and everybody's on a string? You know, the old, everybody's a puppet on a string and blah, 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 and you're being played and blah, 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 that kind of thing. Yeah. I was like, was that part of it too?
I don't know.
It's just funny seeing puppets to me.
Well, but I'm just saying, you know, was that part of the whole message of the movie? I don't know. Maybe it was. Maybe they were thinking that. Maybe they weren't. I don't know. Yeah. But there really is a lot. There's a lot going on in this movie. It's a well-done, well-crafted script, too. I mean,
it really is.
To be able to jam all this stuff in there in, 97 minutes?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's brilliant to me.
Yeah.
It left me wanting more, and that's a good sign for a film.
Yeah, I wish they'd make another movie.
Maybe they will.
Maybe they'll make the story of the interview with puppets.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
And when they have an action,
are you listening, Matt and Trey?
It's there.
Where they cut to, a song. And you're like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's never going to happen in any other movie I'll ever watch.
Hey, Hody, talk for a minute about the songs. We haven't really gotten into that. That's a big part of this film.
They're great.
I mean, these are perfectly executed parodies of what it's telling you what the film is about in song. It's also a musical, for crying out loud. Kind of. But
it very much is.
I love that. But since you brought it up, what do you think of that?
Oh,
that angle of it.
Like I said, I can't believe that's one of the best parts of an action movie is the singing. How did that happen? But Max and I were talking about that earlier, that we think Trey Parker writes all of this stuff. Yeah. And you even look at the South Park songs, the South Park movie. The songs are just, they're great.
Yeah.
They're really catchy.
Yeah.
America, right. You can't. Yeah. I can't say America right now, and everybody thinks.
The next line.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Right. It's just catchy, and it's fun, and it was one of the best parts of the movie.
And freedom only costs $1.05.
$1.05.
Yeah. And I think I wrote down there's 4 key songs in this thing, and none of them are better than the other. I mean, they're all perfectly in time. Yeah. And in place. Yeah.
And
everyone has AIDS.
How weird is that? I was like, what?
You don't know if you should laugh at that, yeah, but you do.
And then Ronery.
Yeah, oh, Roner. That's, whoa, I don't believe, man, that didn't get an Academy Award. You know,
I think it was nominated, wasn't it?
It should have been.
I think it was.
And I kept looking for the camera in his glasses, like the whole movie. I was hoping to catch a camera, but yeah, they didn't. Never happened. These guys are pros.
They're pros.
Yeah. So what else you got? I think you there's some things that kind of apparently didn't bump you up here high with the rest of us. What might that be?
I know everybody probably, and I even laughed out loud at the vomit scene, but stuff like that, it was just like, ah, come on. I mean, these guys, they really can go kind of, I don't want to say highbrow,
yeah,
but like Max was saying, you have to have kind of, you know, you got to have two brain cells in your head to get a lot of these jokes, like the intelligence joke, which was my favorite.
Yeah.
When the intelligence goes out, we have no intelligence. I thought that.
We had some bad intelligence.
Yeah, yeah, but we have no intelligence. Like, that's great. I love it.
I love that one.
But yeah, most people, I don't know if I'm speaking out of turn, but I wouldn't think a lot of people would think that was as funny as Mr. Smart Matt did.
Well, I thought it was hilarious. Intelligence has gone out. I repeat, we have no intelligence.
There's no I in Team America. Well, actually, there is.
Yeah, that joke I didn't like. I don't know. Some of it just left me cold. I don't like the barf.
Wait, you didn't like the barf?
I didn't. I laughed at it.
It didn't stop. They just went for it went for it.
Right.
I guess that's what made it funny.
Funny, soup and beer. It's made out of soup and beer.
I'm made out of soup and beer.
Nicely done.
Yeah.
Let's move back around table, though, to Savage. Yeah. You're up here with me. You went 10 for crying out loud.
I went 10.
Am I right?
Yeah.
Full on jihad.
Oh, this is a perfect movie in so many ways. I mean, with the experience that Matt Parker and Trey Stone bring from, or Trey Parker and Matt Stone, what they bring from South Park is, for one, they know how to work on a timeline and just to crank this stuff out. And I think since probably, whatever, the 10th season of The Simpsons, they've become the most socially incisive voices we have out there. I mean, the social commentary that they make in South Park and with this movie in particular, and their other movies, to lesser degree of success, is some of the most amazing and poignant social commentary that's out there. This is no joke. And it is masked in humor, and it is masked in irony, and I'll take issue with Hoodie. I think you got to have the potty humor in there somewhere.
I agree. I mean, I think you got to have both ends of that spectrum. I completely agree. I just don't dig on it as much. I laughed at it, but I turned out the lights, too. I was like, I'm not laughing.
You're laughing at the absurdity. The fight scenes were some of the best.
Oh, they were fantastic.
Hand-to-hand combat scene.
That's my favorite scene.
It's just preposterous.
Just ramming two puppets against each other and shaking their arms.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just preposterous.
Wrote that down.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like the fact that they didn't shy away from rubbing the puppet, the strings in your face once in a while.
No, absolutely.
Every once in a while they did, and it's like, oh, okay, these are puppets.
Yeah.
And it kind of juxtaposed itself against the reality that they kind of brought to you with it. Sometimes these things looked real, and sometimes they looked absolutely like puppets. Right. And it kind of brought you back into the absurdity again.
And I've heard an interview with the guys, and they did not think it was going to go that way at all. They had delusions of grandeur with these puppets. And the very first hand-to-hand combat scene that they had, they realized there's not a marionette person in the world that can pull this off. You can't get two marionettes to kung fu each other.
Because they'll just tangle up.
Yeah, they just crash them into each other.
You just can't do it. And so they sacrificed that, you know, and then for the humor.
That's as good as it gets. And also, I read somewhere that they feel like some people also forgot or didn't quite pick out the fact this is also a parody of Michael Bay films or action films or Hollywood, how we're addicted to this sort of stuff. And how obvious it is, how we all see it coming, but we still watch it every time they put one out.
Well, Pearl Harbor, the song.
Yeah, exactly. But he was saying that sometimes people just think it's a political parody, but no, it's actually a parody of the film industry itself.
Absolutely.
So.
Yeah, I read an interview online, I don't remember where, but they said when they were trying to figure out how to shoot certain angles, because with puppets, you couldn't get any of the puppeteers, so you had to almost maintain an eye level. So you couldn't do any shots up. They're like, how would Bruckheimer do this?
Oh, really?
And they would just go with that.
Yeah. Right. They basically made a Bruckheimer film with puppets.
That's what it was saying.
Even with the exploding walking away in slow motion. Right?
Yeah.
The helicopter where he's falling. Yeah.
I love that part. Yeah. So what's your signal going to be when you're in trouble? And he's just flapping his arms.
With the towel.
You know what I'm
head.
Saying? Just hysterical.
The bath towel.
I think he's saying he wants to kiss me.
Adam, we haven't gotten to you yet. I want you to end this before we go to a clip of Team America. Tell me why you went up there with the rest of us. What you got? Why'd you like this film?
Puppets are funny.
Honest to God, that's about it.
He's right.
Yeah.
He's never been more right.
We typically talk about scenes after this clip, but I'm just going to ask you right now, since you're a little light on your commentary, what is your favorite puppet scene in this film?
Actually, it's the kittens.
The Panthers.
The Panthers.
Just hysterical.
That's amazing.
The Panthers.
The fact that they added...
Panthers.
And the growling, the growling over it was...
the movie was hysterical.
I imagine someone said, well, how are we going to make puppets look like cats? And what kind of animatronic cats can we get? Why don't we just use regular cats? Okay.
Well, they had a camel earlier. Mm. It was a puppet.
Yeah,
so
a marionette camel.
Oh, like, yeah.
They couldn't do it, but this was way better.
They upped the game.
Yeah. Well, let's take a break. Listen to a piece of this film, Team America. Then we're going to come back and talk about some of the scenes that stood out for us. So we're going to get into our top three and end it. But here you go. Team America 2004. We'll be back in just a second.
I remember the first time we met. You were a simple Broadway actor, afraid to get in my limo because you thought I wanted you to perform oral sex on me. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And now the tables are turned, and I don't know if I can trust you.
Just give me a chance.
All right. I'll trust you. But only if you will perform oral sex on me.
What?
Right here, right now.
All right, so there you go. Team America 2004, the film we're talking about right now, directed and written by Trey Parker and Matt Stone. Did I say that right?
Yeah.
All right, so let's get into some of the scenes and what stood out to us. Yeah, but what do you have, Max, when you think about scenes that you really liked here, ones that rise to the top that you remember first, what are they?
The first one, I think, there's a bunch of them you think of, but the first one that just stands out to me because it's so not like the rest of the movie is the Freedom Is It Free montage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which... if you look at that compared to the rest of the movie, it's not real clear.
Yeah, it's not real grainy.
It's grainy. It's like, all right, somebody, second unit, just take the puppet and lean it up against the, the Vietnam wall.
Yeah.
And when nobody's around, we'll put it by the Lincoln Memorial. Just take a couple of quick shots. They had to film this in secret. There's no way.
Yeah. Early in the morning.
Yeah. You got a sense it was guerrilla films.
Oh, it had to be. Yeah. It looked like they filmed it on a cell phone.
What would you do?
I could just see the guy running around Washington, D.C. with the puppet under his arm. Yeah. What is this guy doing? Yeah.
It's like a three-foot puppet, though.
Not that one.
I don't think it's that big.
Yeah, it's about 3 feet, 2.5 feet.
How big were these puppets?
22 inches.
Oh, those are pretty big puppets.
That's 2.5. I'm not 2.5 feet. Yeah.
I didn't realize that they were that big. Okay.
I didn't either until I saw the fire next to it. I was like, wow, these guys are actually pretty big. you can't change the size of fire.
No, you can't. Or water.
That's true.
The whole ambush scene at the end where it's Team America versus FAG.
Film Actors Guild.
Yeah. Right. I loved how I had a smile on my face from the second that thing started.
Yeah.
Where, I mean, it was just one Hollywood bonehead after another. And I was just like, yes, they offed him. Right. Oh, yes. It was so good to see. It was so much fun to see these idiots made fun of finally. Yeah. And somebody calling them out on this stuff. I loved every second of it, especially when they killed Janine Garofalo.
You know, and that's what I like too, Max, because it also stops as absurd as it is. Then it gets into real cutting commentary that hits it close to the bone, like, and we're going to read these things that we hear on the news and pass them off like our own thoughts. Because that's what they do. Yeah, and their little NPR voices, they talk down to you. You know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. So,
and then when Alec Baldwin gets up, now we will all drive electric cars. We will do this. And we will do that. And
global warming.
Global warming.
Yeah.
I thought that was great. And the little intros to each shot, or like I said earlier, it said North Korea, Asia, so-and-so from America, and then they got to Central America, so-and-so below the real America.
Yeah, exactly.
South of the real America.
But there was even a line where he says, Spotswood says, this is some video from this morning in Cairo.
That's in Egypt.
That's right, Joe.
Good work, Joe.
And I think that's another in-joke. They're having to point this out to
right.
They're making fun of the low intelligence, average intelligence.
They're also saying that the United States is the center of the world.
Right.
Everything
right.
is in relation to the U.S.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So I loved all those little things.
Yeah. So
stuck out for me.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially, when it all wraps up at the end with the Film Actors Guild, sure.
All right.
Loved it.
What do you have, Hoodie? What rises to the top for you?
I got two favorite scenes. First one, the first opening scene was just epic. If you look at that just on
Oh, yeah.
on the... just how skillful these guys were. Just the camera panning through, and you got to have like 60 marionette guys just dangling from the ceiling to make this thing happen. Cars. I think there was a dog. I might be imagining.
There was. Kid sucking a little lollipop.
The whole thing was just
ice cream.
Mime.
Yeah,
the mime was great. And
the mime doing the mime,
But all of them was just like, this camera is just like interweaving through all of these things with all this happening above them. It was amazing, is what I'm saying. Technically amazing.
And absolutely.
That's the best scene. My favorite scene is the dog fight, I guess, with when the MIGs come at him and the terrorists are like sitting on like wooden chairs inside the jets.
I didn't even pick that up.
Oh, that was the best. Yeah. Was the
He's in the submarine smoking down there.
Oh, yeah, it was great.
In the middle of all this, then you get into a little bit interpersonal parody. When they're dealing with each other as individuals.
Oh, I loved it.
They're falling apart as a team.
They're falling apart as a team, because every film like that has that. Yeah.
Absolutely, it does.
It was great.
Yeah, okay.
Just because he was in a wooden chair in a jet. It was brilliant.
I didn't see that, but that's fantastic. I may have to watch it again.
It's like made out of 2x4s. Come on, people.
I can look at that.
I was so wrapped up in the team falling apart and so devastated by that I missed that detail. Just
completely focused on the MIGs. Yeah, the details. All right. Do you remember when I'm so ronery and he lays down on the bed? Did you guys look at the nightstand?
No.
Mm-mm. Did you see the statue on the nightstand?
What was it?
It was porno. It was great.
It was
a pornographic statue, and I was like, that's great. I love it.
Yeah, and you know, that gets into the performances. For me, what rises to the top, I'm going to stay away from scenes for a minute because there's too many I can't get into them. But what I recall, I think these are great voiceover performances.
They are.
I love Gary in the way I just think of the saddest moment of my life.
That's all Trey Parker, too.
Yeah. He did most of them.
Spotswood?
Yeah.
Attaboy, Gary. You know, he sounds just like...
You're doing a great job, by the way.
Who'd I say sound like? Phil Hartman.
Phil Hartman. He does.
But, I mean, in every one of these movies, that character, that strong, you know, going to rally the leader of the troop or the group, he always kind of has that very much like this voice, you know? And they parodied
the
that
coach
just perfect.
Voice. Yeah.
Yeah. But I loved the performances from Spotswood to Gary to even the sidecar characters. I value your friendship.
Lisa,
you know, all that stuff. And it comes in hot with some really good voice work. I mean, even the beginning when Carson dies and he feels so cold. I just feel so cold, you know.
You deserve to be happy, Lisa.
Yeah.
Love again.
I mean, all that stuff is spot on.
That was a great death scene, too, when his face just went blank.
Yeah.
Of course it would go blank. He's a marionette, but I was like, oh.
It really looked like it, though.
It really looked like he died. How did they do this?
What about you, Savage? What rises up for you?
Yeah, it goes to the social commentary, but the social commentary masking the potty humor. It's the ducks, posies, and ear holes.
Oh, God.
The ducks, posies, and ear holes scene. I mean, even from the bar to the climax scene. It's so ridiculous, but it's so spot on.
It is spot on,
As an ironic and incisive commentary. And it's just funny.
Well, I could tell you this much. You could get any talking head in the world trying to describe the three types of people in the world.
Right.
With every kind of intellect that they had possible. And it still wouldn't be as spot on or as intelligent as what the guy at the bar said.
Yeah. Ducks, posies, and ear holes.
Yeah. There's three types of people, Chuck. He kept calling them Chuck. Yeah. Go ahead, Savage.
And then, you know, follow that up with the vomit that doesn't stop. I mean, it just doesn't stop. And you think it's going to stop, and it doesn't.
Yeah.
I like how the music swelled with each coming hurl. Right.
It kind of reached the point where it's like, okay, now it's too much, but... If you don't do it more, it won't be funny. You have to really go for it.
Ramp it up some more.
You have to ramp it up, yeah.
And then the ronery, that's a completely standout scene. I have a theory that the reason, you know, Kim Jong-il was a notorious cinephile, and he loved film, and he made films. And arguably, you could say that this role, quote-unquote, is him. It was probably his biggest role that was seen by more people in the world.
Yeah.
So he probably loved it. I just envision somewhere over there in North Korea, him hearing it. And saying, yeah, real Roman.
They know me so well. How did they know?
Yeah.
Your North Korean accent is spectacular.
I like the way he delivered his lines, too. Just so snotty. Oh, so, hello, Team America. Oh, Alec Baldwin. You know what I'm talking about?
Eric.
Everything was just hysterical about this guy.
Stupid. You know how busy I am?
Oh, when he throws the UN guy into the sharks.
Right. Hans Bricks. Hans Bricks.
Hello, Hans. And he,
oh, you're breaking my balls, huh?
You're breaking my balls, breaking my balls. Yeah.
Just a riddle to the left. Riddle more.
And it also highlighted how absurd it is that, oh, yeah, come on, look around. We didn't hide anything, no. Oh, you look clean to me. Yeah. You know, Adam, you
will
look
be very, very angry.
Write you a sternly worded letter. Yeah.
Adam, what do you got when you think about this and you look back, things that are really, you know, they come up to the surface and say, hey, this is Team America. What do you got?
Since you already asked me once, kittens.
Once more. He's just all about these cats.
He loves the
That's
Panthers.
The only thing he liked was the Panthers.
No, the whole thing was hysterical.
All right, besides the Panthers, what's your favorite puppet scene?
The sex scene.
With the sex scene. The whole Kama Sutra, man.
You know why I asked that? Because I wanted to bring it up.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. It was all over his face. I just laughing. Saw the shame come over him.
The song itself, while the music... Well, they're doing that. It's
right.
So
only
funny.
A woman.
Only a woman.
I hope you're a woman.
I think that's a scene that when you
I
ask.
I watched the unrated version,
oh,
which
God.
Has a couple of little
extra scenes?
Juicy scenes, I'm going to say.
Juicy.
Max, you think when people talk about this movie, that's a scene that kind of comes to the forefront for most people, the sex scene?
Yeah, I'm sure it does, yeah. It's I think it's notorious. I mean, it gained the movie such notoriety when it was first released because they got an X because of a couple of puppets having sex. Are you kidding me?
Did it really get an X?
Yeah, that's why they had to cut those like 5 seconds out of the sex scene.
I had no
Hoodie,
idea.
They're pooping on each other in the uncutted
Michael, it's not real.
It's puppets.
That is great. Obviously, it's humor, but once again, the craft work. The way they made these puppets do this, that must have been a hard day at the office because they pulled it off.
Right.
They did.
There's one part of that scene that's funny, though, and it also once again slaps back to, hold on, don't get too carried away. These are still puppets.
Right.
And that's when she goes up to kind of quiet his lips and she pokes him right in the eye and they just, you know what I'm talking about?
I know that. I love that.
At the end of it, yeah.
Things like that just make me laugh,
but
man.
But it's the same joke as the vomit. It just kept going. Yeah. It just kept going.
It's full commit.
Yeah, it really was.
Then
really
the was. Other, my other favorite scene is when he's dressed up as the jihadist.
Oh yeah, the Val
morphification. I wrote that down too. Just the whole prep work with the
that montage,
all the computers and technology, and he comes out looking like that. I was like, what?
But you know why it was funny? Because when he turned his head slowly and looked in the mirror, and just the look on the puppet's face was like, huh? Really?
It's uncanny.
It's uncanny. Act, damn it, act your way in there. Spots would have had him act his way into the, because his acting is so important.
Right. That was what counted. He was the greatest actor in the world.
Well, don't you know that?
I don't know how he did it. I had a sense that he was a good actor.
There will be an actor one day that will save the world, Max.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And I think that's the point, is how it's absurd these people take themselves. Yeah.
The prophecy.
All right, let's end it here real quickly on the deaths. I want to get back to what Max likes, which is the end scene.
Yeah.
All these people getting killed in certain ways. Who had the best death? I like the fact that.
I had that written down too.
Tim Robbins was killed by a smoker. And did you see where they lit that puppet up?
Right.
Because at the end, he's like, you missed something, Tim.
Robbins.
I'm a smoker. And he flicks a cigarette butt at him.
Yeah, the real hand.
Yeah.
That was great.
And the way he's flapping around on fire, it was hysterical.
Yeah.
What death did you like, Max? You had a favorite death? What is it?
Well, I already mentioned Janine Garofalo.
Oh, Janine.
Because I can't stand her.
I love Janine Garofalo, but that was the best death.
She used to be funny. Now she's just an annoying idiot who can't shut her mouth when the time comes.
Oh, my.
She is. And Michael Moore. I was so glad to see that guy get his comeuppance. Somebody needed to take that guy down a notch, that fat pig.
Okay.
I hate the guy. Hate the guy. He really is an un-American bastard.
Yeah. What were we talking about?
Scenes,
who's
man.
The best one?
Who's the best
you
death
like,
scene?
Who'd you like seeing get killed off the
most? Now that you mention it, I did like Michael Moore. Tear it all down! You know,
with the two
around.
Hot dogs in his hand and the mustard
all
over.
That was actually great. Did you notice they held that shot for a little bit while he just stood there and danced?
He just stood there dancing. I love that.
We know that, let's see, Danny Glover and Sean Penn were killed by the cats.
Viciously. They must have stuffed something in those puppets, man. Those cats tore them up.
No, that's what's in puppets, Jim.
Yeah, is it? Is that what's in puppets?
You know,
puppet meat.
Yeah, puppet meat. Tell you what, let's end it right there, guys. We could go on and on.
Yeah.
Bottom line is, there's so much to talk about in this film. We could probably do a second show.
Sure we could.
And that is 2004's Team America. Perfectly placed. Going to get into our top three list of the week, inspired, as always, by the movie in question. top three montages. Is that what we have?
Top three montages.
Because even Rocky had a montage. Because
you're going to need a montage.
I can't remember.
Going to need it.
Oh, going to need a montage.
Yeah. But yeah, he did say Rocky had a montage.
You know, we're going to need three montages from each of us. Let's get into it, guys. Top three montages in films. Man, I had a hard time with this. This took me some time.
All right.
But I think I have some really awful answers. So I can't wait to reveal them. Max, reveal your first one. Inspired by Team America, we're talking about top three montages. Go.
Number three is the dating montage between Leslie Nielsen and Priscilla Presley and The Naked Gun.
Oh, that's good.
Where they go get tattoos.
Oh, that's right.
And all that kind of junk. Yeah, and they're playing, what's the song that's playing with? The Turtles song is playing behind them.
Is this where they're walking out of the theater just gut busting, laughing hysterically, and it pans up and they just walked out of Schindler's List?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Savage, let's go over to you. We're talking about top three montages. Yeah. What's your third?
Tough one. I'll go with 300, the scene where the Persians are attacking.
Yeah.
Throw wave after wave after wave of people, and they just keep knocking them off.
Did that have a song playing?
No, but it had a narrative.
Nah, we need a song.
No, there's some music.
Max just established it's got to have a catchy song.
Music?
I want to put a caveat on that. I think if it's a good narrative, it stands in place of the song, and it works. I don't know.
It's his choice.
300.
300. It's a good answer.
I'm just playing with you.
I thought about that. where the guy's talking about just waves of waves crashing in, and how we're going to make their numbers for nothing and all that. Yeah, good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, what about you, Hoodie? What's your number three?
Bloodsport.
Was it just one montage? I imagine that movie.
It's got to be the training montage.
The training montage,
Not so much. I like the fighting montage? One. The fight montage.
Where he's working through the Kumite.
Yeah, oh yeah. Kumite. And the monkey guy. Love the monkey guy.
Monkey guy. Love monkey guy.
Would you declare jihad on me if I told you I've never seen this film?
I think you may have a pick.
You grew up in the 80s, right?
Yeah, I just didn't.
Apparently not.
I've never Canadian.
Seen it. Yeah, I'm Canadian. Yeah, I forgot.
I had the training day when
Blood. Me too.
Me too.
Didn't make my top three, but it was on my list.
Okay.
The fighting one's good, too.
I like the fighting one.
What about you, producer? We're going over to you now. Three, montage in movies inspired by Team America. What you going with?
My third one is, I only like it because of the song, and that is from Dawn of the Dead remake, Get Down with the Sickness.
Can you believe I had that on my list? That's on my list.
Yeah.
That's a good song.
Yeah, they're pimping out that bus. Yeah. Is that what you're talking about?
No.
No.
The scene where Get Down with the Sickness,
Disturbed
the Richard Cheese Disturbed song.
Oh, you mean at the end credits?
No.
Oh.
Never mind. All over the place.
Yeah. During the movie, you know, they start playing chess across the zombies.
Yeah, okay. Well, you know what? That movie had several montages.
There's the guy putting on the shoes. And
yes, but do you remember the montage when they're pimping out that big bus?
Kind of.
Okay, never mind.
It didn't have an awesome song.
Okay.
That song sucks.
Yeah, right.
I'm sorry.
You're not down with the sickness.
You're right. I'm not down with it.
You know what I'm down with for my number three?
Hmm.
I'm just going to say it. I'm just going to do it. I'm going to go with it. I'm going to go with the original Kevin Bacon Footloose.
Yep. It's a good one. It's a good one.
Crap.
That's a great montage,
though. It is a good montage.
Dancing his ass off.
And yeah.
Man, you just
stole it.
Rained on my parade.
You want to borrow one of mine? I have like a list of like seven.
Which one are you talking about? Which montage?
There's many.
Well, the dancing montage.
In
Footloose.
Well, you know, the one he's out in the field dancing, he's showing all the other guys how to dance. Don't you remember
Chris Penn?
Right, Chris Penn one. That's what I'm talking about.
You don't even know what you're talking about.
I know what I'm talking about. Chris Penn, God rest his soul.
Yeah, that's
brother of Sean Penn, by the way.
Crap, that's my number one.
Why did the wrong pin? The wrong pin died.
You just want to go ahead and make that your number one, or are you going to think of something else?
I got something else.
He's got a backup. Sorry.
That's my real number one.
I snaked that from you. This happens sometimes on the cube.
It happens. These things happen.
Savage.
That's Max.
Ooh, I'm sorry.
My number two?
What the hell am I doing? Number two, Max, lead it off. What you got?
Toy Story 2, when the girl doll, I can't remember her name for some reason
Jessie.
Jessie is telling her story about how the little kid used to play with her all the time, and then he kind of didn't play with her, and then they kind of left her under the tree and forgot her when she had a date.
Oh, that's
I almost started crying. That is the closest I've ever come to crying in a theater.
Isn't that Sarah McLachlan?
Up would be a better one, I would think.
I like Toy Story 2. It's more memorable.
That's fine. I'm just saying you're wrong.
Well, did you cry during Up?
I cried during Up, at the beginning.
Okay, well, Jesse made me cry.
Oh.
He's crying a little bit right now.
I'm getting a little bit clipped right now.
Clipped.
I think we went over to Savage at this point. So let's do it again. Savage, we're on number twos here. What you going with?
Forrest Gump, the running scene.
Oh, yeah. How'd I miss that?
Oh, yeah, it's a good one. Yeah. Good job.
Yeah, he did. That's a big part of that film. Man, it's all, like 10 minutes of montage.
It's the middle of the film.
Yes. Right. And it's not just that it crossed scenes. It crossed decades.
Yeah. It just ran for years.
Crossed the country.
And he had
a few times.
Well, I don't mean decades. It actually crossed continents.
Yeah. And then just one day he stopped.
I think I'm kind of tired now. I'm going to go home. It had to end like that.
Yeah.
Hoodie, what you have for number two?
Mystery Men, the training scene in Mystery Men.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I love that film.
Yeah.
And Tom Waits. You kind of love the guy.
Yeah.
I do love Tom Waits. Yeah. I think I recall that. Yeah. All right.
And the Sphinx.
Yeah.
It's been a long time since
Me too.
But you see, you guys throw these out, and I have to try to absorb them and remember them, and it's starting to come back to me. Yeah. Number two, what is it?
Army of Darkness has the best line at the end of a montage.
Yeah. Yeah.
What is it, Max?
I don't remember.
Groovy.
Okay, that's Evil Dead 2. That line belongs in Evil Dead 2, sorry.
We've had this discussion.
Okay. Yep, we have.
Both those films had good montages.
They did.
You know.
All I like Army of Darkness montages.
I think so. Number two for me, you know what I'm going to go with?
Nope.
Oh, you're going to hate this answer. You're going to think it's stupid. I'm going Mr. Holland's Opus.
Yep, we think it's stupid.
I never saw it.
It's a great montage, man. The guy goes from like 3 decades of teaching in like 30 seconds. Whoa. It shows him teaching driver's training in a 65 Rambler all the way up to a 1992 Ford Probe.
But why?
Huh? Shows the montage of how long he's been at this school. Eddie, don't you understand? A 65 Rambler to a 92 Ford Probe. He's been there a long time.
I've not seen it.
Max Gumbo. Apple Pie Johnson.
First thing I thought of when we decided on this topic, Rocky IV.
Absolutely.
And not just one montage, the whole movie.
It's a montage.
I wrote this down. The movie, the total running time is 91 minutes and 20 seconds, minus 25 minutes of montages. You have 66 minutes and 20 seconds of movie.
Wow.
That's fantastic. It is like a running montage.
There's 7 of them.
A half hour of montages.
Literally.
How about you, Savage? What's your number one? Inspired by Team America. What you going with?
The best montage ever is the best love story told in 10 minutes, and it is Up. The opening scene of Up.
That's a good
absolutely
montage.
Perfect.
And a tear rolls down all the way around.
He's got the giant smile on his face.
I was right.
Why were you right? Because he said
What's your number one, Hoodie?
Like Max actually nailed it. It's Rocky IV.
Producer? What you going with?
Gremlins 2.
I knew it'd be something stupid.
It's not stupid. He's training as Rambo.
Wait a minute. That is good.
Gizmo as Rambo. Yes.
Wait a second. That's a quality answer. Stripe becomes Rambo. Isn't that what happens?
No, Gizmo.
Oh, Gizmo. Okay.
Yeah, okay. And it's even got Rambo flashbacks in it.
You know, I don't know if I like any of my possible number ones. I'm going to go with it, though. I'm going to go with Back to School, Rodney Dangerfield, the training, the brushing up on his course montage.
Oh, the final?
Yes.
Oh, that's a good one.
You remember that?
Yeah, I loved it.
So stupid.
I love that movie.
I don't know why I thought of that. Okay, so there you go. We wrapped this one up, guys. We went into Team America, told you what we thought of that. But let's get into next week's show. Let's get into next week's reveal. I think the reveal falls on Matthew St. Hoodie, am I correct?
It is. It is I.
So go ahead, Hoodie. Tell us what you got next week. What's it going to be?
Looking at the one I love.
And you're looking right over at Max. Now let's talk.
He looked at me.
Yeah. We're talking about the movies, okay? I don't care about your personal feelings.
I just want to do that 4 times so I can look at each of you when I say it. It's a weird one.
Tell me a bit about this one. What you got? I don't know what this
Mark Duplass, Elizabeth Moss.
Ooh.
Cutie. Anywho. It's a weird one.
It's a weird one. So kind of like a surreal
like doubles and
If it's got Duplass in it, you know it's weird.
Doubles.
Yeah, he's great, though. I love Duplass.
I'm sensing shades of
Safety Not Guaranteed.
Safety Not Guaranteed. Possible.
I'll give that, yeah. Okay. I'd say so. It's Duplass. You're right, yeah.
I'm looking forward to that. Some surreal. A little bit of a take on a love story, I think, is what it is.
Sure.
Am I correct?
I'm digging it.
All right.
Stripped down cast.
Giddy up.
Yep. Yeah.
All right, so that's where this one ends. Next week, we're going to pick it up. The one I love.
It'll be dedicated to it.
Dedicated to the one I love.
Knock, knock,
durka. Durka, durka all over it. So we'll see you next week. That's the one I love. Who knows what the top three will be, but we'll figure it out. In the meantime, thank you, as always, for tuning into The Q, man. We love it.
Love it.
We do love it.
That's
and
a quote from Naked Gun.
I love it. If you want to tell us your thoughts on this film, the one we just discussed, Team America, or I don't care any of them, you go to thecufilmcast.net. Go there. It's a catch-all. You can follow us on Twitter, follow us on Facebook there, or leave your thoughts, comments, whatever. But that's where this one ends. Next week, the one I love, so we'll see you then, guys. And as always, going to cue it, going to review it, and until then, however you say,
durka durka,
that. Welcome from deep inside the ear hole of Jolly Rogers Studio.
Timeless tale.
Yeah, timeless tale.
Real committed, but that doesn't sound fun.
Okay.
I do have the text approved. It was definitely a montage.
It's a montage.
It's really nice to see the left made fun of it.
The first couple times I saw this movie, never even made it the whole way through, but I watched it twice. I like it.
All right.
It's good.
All right. This is done with marionettes, and it's only hysterical to me. I realized why I thought it was so funny. The content's funny.
Yeah.
The themes are funny.
Okay, I don't care about your personal feelings.
I just want to do that four times so I can look at each of you when I say it.
Going to cue it, going to review it, and then tell them however you say,
Durka Durka.